Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. I'll tell you, the last few weeks or so, if you've been here, I have been subtly dropping this hint that I have been looking for a certain vinyl record. some of you know, you take it off your list because the Rizaks just gave me God is good, God is faithful. Okay, here, Laura, will you hold that and take gentle care of that? The last time I saw that, I was in high school. That's how long it's been. Oh, it's my favorite album, one of my favorite albums of all time. But hey, I am not here to talk about music. I'm here to talk about the Word. Anybody ready to hear from the Word today? All right. If you got a copy of the scriptures, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, it's in the Old Testament, predates Jesus by about 700 years. So we're starting a series today called Wrapped for Christmas. Wrapped for Christmas, the swaddled gift. For those of you that are been in church, you know where that comes from. Luke chapter 2. If you're new to church, my name's Brad, by the way. I'm glad you're here. I'm the lead pastor. And Luke chapter 2 tells us that Jesus came to us. In the King James Version, it says that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. So Jesus, though, as we look through this series, we're going to be looking through the eyes of Isaiah, the prophet, who gave us many of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And we're going to be looking over the next few weeks about how Jesus wraps us in strength, wraps us in comfort, wraps us in grace, and he wraps us in love. And if you have a copy of the scriptures, again, Luke chapter 40, if you do not have a Bible with you, we have free ones in the lobby. Encourage you to download YouVersion, which is a great app. And also where you've got an Advent reading plan, I want to draw your attention to. During the Advent season, this is a season, if you're new to church, over the next 4 weeks, we will be focusing and preparing for Christmas. It's so easy to get caught up in everything that's going on and forget. I forget what this season is. So easy to forget because there's so much going on. And so what we do during the season is we stop for this thing called Advent, which is just simply preparing for the gift of Jesus. And so you can go to corechristmas.com and you can find an Advent reading plan. We got one for the adults and we got one also for family. So if you want to do this with your kid, you can do it with your kids as well. So Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And I'm going to be in verse 26. We're going to go to verse 26. This is not one of the prophecies of the coming of Jesus, but it tells us who God is. Isaiah is telling us who God is and who Jesus is. And he says this, look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength. Somebody say incomparable strength. That's what we're going to talk about today, that we are wrapped in that incomparable strength. He says, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. Somebody say amen. Amen. Like no one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Anybody need that today? Man, those of you that are weak, he gives you strength and power. Even youths will become weak and tired. Young men are going to fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find, anybody what? New strength. New strength. Turn to somebody and say, I got some new strength for you today. There's going to be some new strength for you today. If you are weak, if you are weary, if you are tired, if you are worn down, we ain't even started Christmas yet. And we're all tired, right? I mean, just wore out. I mean, it's like all this family in town, you're like, woo, there they go. Thank you, Lord. I mean, because you're worn out, you're tired. I mean, I love my family being here. Anyway, look back to the word. They says they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Let's talk about the God who wraps us in strength. Will you pray with me as we begin this time to hear from the Lord? I want to invite you to begin to pray. You don't have to do this out loud, but we just pray for the people around you. Whether you know them or you don't know them, somebody's in front of you, somebody that was behind you, maybe somebody you shook their hand this morning during that greeting time, and you say, man, God, help. Would you help them, God? Because all of us come in here with stuff. That's what we all have in common. So we have just stuff that we're bringing. We all need God's strength. Pray for your own soul in this moment. Say, God, I need new strength. Would you help me? Maybe for some of you, it's help me to believe again. Help me to believe again. Holy Spirit, would you come now? Would you minister to us and speak boldly through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you can grab a seat. So we have now moved from mowing season to leaf season. Yes, I heard a boo on the front row. That was from our worship leader's son, Eric Hawkinson, who has to go out and rake up those leaves. I think every young person who's at home is like, I hate this season because, but I don't have kids at home, so it's on me. It's on me. For 20 years, I didn't never have to do it. Man, I spaced my kids out. For 20 years, I didn't do any of that stuff. Now it's on me again. And so, by the way, if you don't have children, I recommend spacing them out. Then you never have to mow your lawn, never have to do leaves for like 2 decades. It's amazing. So it's leaf season. And I some of you know who have been here for a while, I have this thing called a cyclone rake. Now, I have a riding lawnmower, and you hook up this, it is a beast, a monstrosity of a thing. It's a massive hose on it, and it hooks up to the back of it, and it mulches the leaves. You just mow over the leaves, and it mulches them all up into the back. It's an amazing piece of machinery. I mean, to give you an idea of what it's like, when I begin to use it, every season when I pull it out and I start to do a row on my lawn, trucks slow down. And I'm like, that's right. Jealous, you know, I went out to get it going and I went to start it and I pulled the rope and all it did was nothing. So then I pulled the rope again and it goes, dat, 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 dat. Now that's not the noise it's supposed to be making. It's supposed to be going, that sound is what I'm listening for. Instead it's going, dat, 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 dat. It dies. And I'm pulling it and nothing is happening. And by the way, for those of you that are new, I'm not mechanically inclined, but what's beautiful about this piece of machinery is it has pictures on it. So it has a picture of a turtle and a rabbit. And I look and I go, I've got it on rabbit. So I'm good. And then it's got a little fuel thing. It's got a fuel thing and a fuel pump with a big line through it. And I'm like, no, I've got it on the fuel thing. And so I pull it again. Nothing. Now, beyond this, I got nothing. I mean, that's all I got. And so, but I know a guy. How many of you know a guy? I know Billy Ashworth. I don't even know if Billy is here this morning, but Billy is a lawn guy. He has a lawn business. He works on lawnmowers. And I'm like, all right, I shoot a video of me pulling it and it going, that, 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 that thing. And I send it to him. And I said, hey, can you help me out? What is there anything I can do to get this thing going? Billy texts me back and he said, oh, it's probably the carburetor. To which I text back and say, that's no help at all. I don't know what a carburetor is. I don't know where the carburetor, I don't even know what a carburetor does. Oh, don't judge me. Some of you men right now, you're looking at me like, don't judge. I don't even know if I can go to this church if the pastor doesn't know what a carburetor is. I mean, come on. So anyway, I'm like, I text him back, and Billy, I don't know where the carburetor, I don't know what you're talking about. The next text to me is, I'll be right over. He comes over and he shows me where the carburetor is. He unscrews this piece, pulls it off. He says, there's your carburetor right there. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to trust you on that one. And he says, here, I'm going to give you this spray. I don't remember what it's called. Sorry if I don't know what it is, but they give me this spray. I call it magic spray. And he gives me this spray and he says, now we're going to pull the rope. And when we pull the rope, you're going to spray that spray. And so I pull the rope and it goes, da, 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 da. And he goes, spray. And I go, and it goes, da, 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 da. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? And I'm like, yeah, I bet it could use more. If it's good for the carburetor, it must be good for me. I'm like, wow. Billy's like, calm down. So I'm like, man, I don't know what this, he said, I'm going to leave the spray with you, Brad, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to use this only when you need it. Let me ask you this, where in your life right now are you pulling the cord over and over and over and nothing is happening? It's just sputtering. It's dying out. You don't know what to do. Maybe it's paying for Christmas. You're looking, I can't even pay the bills I have right now. How in the world, where's the space and the wiggle room to put any gifts under the tree? And you're frustrated and you're overwhelmed. And we haven't even started the season yet. And what am I going to do? If it's not paying for Christmas, maybe it's the pain of Christmas. It's the pain of family. Maybe it's a broken relationship, a fractured relationship. I mean, where Christmas Vacation isn't a movie, it's a documentary. But it's that pain of maybe your marriage is not healthy. There's a lot of friction and tension there. Or maybe this Christmas you're alone for the very first time. I don't know. Maybe your kids are gone, or maybe you've gone through a divorce, or maybe just somebody that was close to you and you were in that relationship and you thought it was going somewhere, and this Christmas they're not with you around the tree. Or maybe it's just unmet expectations. I mean, you went into 2025 and you're like, this is the year. This is when I'm gonna have the breakthrough. That God's going to show up. And now here we are, weeks from the end of 2025, you're staring down 2026 and nothing is changing. And you're frustrated. You're overwhelmed. You don't know what you're going to do. You're confused. You feel helpless. For many of you, like you're just ready to walk away. Wouldn't it be great if there was some kind of magic spray that could just turn it around real quick? You know what I mean? Like you could just spray, relationship fixed, bing, magically presence under the tree. There's Mr. Wright right there. And boy, does he look good. Wouldn't it be great if there was? But we all know that there isn't. So how do you navigate these moments? Like when life is sputtering. And you're dying on the inside, where it's not changing, and all your strength is gone. Where do you turn? Like, this is why Jesus came. This is the whole reason he came. He came to wrap us in his strength when ours is gone. This is what Isaiah is talking about here in Isaiah chapter 40. He's saying that we serve a God who gives strength and power beyond what we could ever imagine or think. I mean, just pause on this for a moment. Go back to verse 26 and look what it says here about our God. Look up into the heavens. Who created all of this? Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army. He brings them out. You ever wonder how the stars get in the sky and where they're at? He brings them out like an army, one after another. Say this with me, calling each by its name. And it's because of his what? His great power and incomparable strength. It's his great power and his incomparable strength that, like, not a single one is missing. I'd like for you to write this down. And if you're new, there's some notes in your chair back that you can use. Write this down. I find strength when I let God wrap me in his strength. I find strength when I let God wrap me in his strength. See, Isaiah in this verse, what he's saying is get your head up. What happens when your strength is gone? Head goes down, shoulders go low. You're looking, you always know when somebody's in trouble, somebody's having a bad day. When you're having a bad day, nobody's walking in with their head up, you know, smiling. You can just sense it, right? There's just this vibe or this aura that they put off, and you can see like their head is down. And what Isaiah is saying is get your head up, like look up to the heavens. Like look up. This is your God. Like, this is who he is. This is what he's done. He's saying, be reminded in that moment that, look, this is, our God is a God of strength. Our God is a God of majesty and splendor and authority. Like, this is the God who put all of these stars in the sky. When you look up, it will remind you that I have no strength, but he has all strength. If he can put the stars in the sky, he can put hope in my heart, right? Amen? This is who God is. He created every single star. I was really thinking about that this week. I was like, that's a lot of stars. I don't know, remember the last time you went outside and actually looked up and seen the stars? Usually it's when you're camping or you're way out in the country somewhere. And you look, there's a lot out there. The star professionals, I don't know what they call them, stargazers. I don't know what they call these people, but the people that do it for a living. Astronomer, thank you. The front row high school students are yelling it at me. That'll humble you right there. Astronomers, yes. The Magi. No, were they astronomers? Were they? Yeah. Kind of, okay. We're working out our theology right here in real time, people. But like when you look up, the astronomers tell us that there's over 1 septillion stars. I'd never even heard of that word before, septillion. That's the one that's beyond a billion. That is one with 20 zeros behind it. That's 1 billion billions. Never even heard that before. And they recently discovered one of those stars that's out there. We saw a new one. This is a picture of it. It's V462 Loopy. That's what I call my brother-in-law, Loopy. That's a crazy name for a star, 462 Loopy. That star, by the way, is 40 million miles away from us. Yet Isaiah says he created each star and knows its name. He calls every star by its name. We might try to name a star. He's already named them. This is who our God is. He says not a single one is missing. I can't even count the stars that are in that picture, but God knows the name and knows everything about every star. Do you ever feel like that star? Like lost in the crowd. There's 8.2 billion people on this earth. Do you ever feel like just another number? I'm V462. Does anyone even know I exist, let alone God? But think about this. If God cares about that star, that particular star right there, how much more does he care about you and me? Jesus tells us in John's gospel, chapter 10 and verse 3, Jesus says this, he's talking about himself here. He says, he calls his own sheep by what? By name. Like he knows your name. And then he leads them out. You ever run into somebody in public, they know your name, but you don't know them? That is really uncomfortable, isn't it? This happened to Laura and I a few months ago. We were at the store and somebody rounded the corner in the frozen food and they're coming at us and they're like, "Hey, Brad, Laura." And I'm like, "Hey, you?" I couldn't, I was trying hard to place them. They look somewhat, you with me on this? I felt like it was CSI, you know, I was like hunting for clues. And Laura just launches into this conversation. She's like, "Oh my gosh, how you been?" And they're chumming it up and they're talking. I'm like, "Hey, throw me a bone here, lady. Give me a name. Say their name. Say their name." And she's not saying their name. She's just talking away. And then like, okay, well, obviously we know these people. I don't know from where, but I'm going to act as if I do. They leave, they walk out, and I go, "Who was that?" And she says, "I have no idea." That's my wife, by the way. That's how she rolls. Listen, God never forgets a name. He doesn't forget your name. He doesn't confuse you with someone else. You're not just another number to him. He never loses track of you. No, no, no. He knows your name. Come on, turn to somebody and encourage them right now to say, "God knows your name. God knows your name." Now turn to the person whose name you don't know and say, "I don't know your name, but God knows your name. I don't know your name, but God knows." None of you are going to do that. You're like, "I'm not doing that. I'm supposed to act like I know everybody at this church." God knows your name. Man, what does that mean? He sees you. He sees you. He hears that prayer. He cares about you. He has not forgotten about you. You may feel, "God, where are you at? Like, what is happening? Why are you?" And God's like, "I see you. I care about you. And man, I love you. And I will never forget your name." That's our God. Look what verse 28 tells us. In chapter 40 of Isaiah, he is talking about God. He never grows weak or weary. Verse 29 says, he gives, and say this with me, he gives what? Power to the weak and strength to the powerless. That is good news, because we all get tired. It's okay, because you're human. Come on, turn to somebody and remind them, "Hey, it's okay, you're human." Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, "It's okay. It's okay, you're human. We all get tired." It says, "Even youths will become weak and tired." That's some hope for some parents here this morning. That baby is eventually going to sleep through the night. Amen. I declare it in Jesus' name. Receive that. You got a toddler, man, eventually they are going to take a nap. God make it so today. "Even youths become weak and tired, and young men will fall into exhaustion." My kids, when they became a senior in high school, I promised each of them that I would take them anywhere they wanted to go in the continental United States, which sounds great until we had four of them, and I realized how expensive it is to do that with four different kids. But so my son Jeremiah, my middle son, he says, "Dad, I want to go to New York." And I was like, "Oh, let's do that," because I've been to New York several times, and I love New York City. And so him and I went on this father-son trip to New York City, and we landed, and we did all the sights. So when we landed, we hit the ground running. And I mean, we're at Times Square. We go see Rockefeller Center. We see Radio City Music Hall, the Empire State Building. All of it. We just going everywhere. Went down Fifth Avenue. All of this stuff that we began to see. And then finally we get to the Brooklyn Bridge. And by the way, it's July 4th, and we're going to watch the fireworks over the Statue of Liberty. I'm so pumped. And I'm like, so what we do is we're going to get to the other side of the Brooklyn Bridge because it's the best viewing of the fireworks. And so we start across the iconic Brooklyn Bridge. and we're walking across it, and I'm just mesmerized again. No matter how many times I walk across it, I'm like, man, this bridge is so cool. And I turn to him to say something to him, and I can't find him, which isn't unusual. And so I'm like, oh, maybe he's taking a picture, and I look over to the sides. I can't find him. I thought, did he go ahead of me? And maybe I was not paying attention. I look ahead. He's not ahead of me. I turn around, and he hasn't even started across the bridge. He's sitting down. And I'm like, so I walk back, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He goes, Dad, I'm exhausted. I was like, oh, well, hey, not your old man. Yeah, oh, looks like the young punk is exhausted, huh? Let's go, boy. I mean, I was having so much fun in that moment as a dad, as a moment like that. That's right. Let's quote the scripture here again. Youth will become weak and tired. That's right, but not old men. Old man strength is what God calls it. So I said, man, come on, we got to get across this bridge. And he's like, man, Dad, I am just so exhausted. What bridge right now do you feel too exhausted to cross? I mean, you're looking at it. I don't know what that is for you, whether it's a conversation you need to have with somebody, a decision needs to be made, a relationship or financial, or maybe it's a diagnosis that you've gotten, but it's the weight of that, and you're looking up to heaven, and you're saying, God, I'm exhausted. So most of you know that back in April of this year, I thought 2025 was going to be a killer year, and there's going to be major, big things happening for me. But in April, I had a small procedure that was supposed to have like a 4 to 6 week recovery. I'm now into month 7 of that recovery. Doctors have some ideas of what they think they need to do, but for those of you that are new, basically what happens is every 4 hours, my body shuts down. It starts shutting down, and it's painful, and it doesn't last very long, but it's every 4 hours, like literally on the clock. And then in the middle of the night, this has been 24/7 for 7.5 months. It's been exhausting. But in the middle of all of this, God has renewed my strength. See, my strength is exhausted, and I'm like, God, I can't cross that bridge. And during this, God gave me, he's given me 31 different prayers and promises from the Psalms. If that would be helpful to you, I can send it to you. Just grab a Next Step card, fill it out. I'll email it to you and make sure you get a copy of it. But one of them that's in there is Psalm 138:3 that I thought I would share with you today. This is one that I pray. He says this, as soon as I what?
Pray.
That's the key. That's the key to the strength. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by what? Say it with me. Giving me strength. In other words, strength is just a prayer away. Come on, tell somebody next to you, strength is just a prayer away. Strength is just a prayer away. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 107, and it talks about these different ways in which people are distraught and helpless and broken and don't know how to carry on, and all of their strength is gone. And it says 4 different times in Psalm 107, and they cried out, Lord, help. I love that prayer. You don't have to have some big fancy prayer. You don't have to say a prayer a certain way and a right way. And sometimes the simplest prayer is the best prayer. When you simply cry out, Lord, help, he comes in and wraps you in his strength. That's the power of prayer. It's who our God is, and it's what he can do for you. Here's the thing. You got to know your limits, but know that God is limitless. Know your limits. That's the key to being wrapped in his strength. I know my limits. I admit my limits. But what I recognize is, oh wait, I look up, I see the stars, I see what he's created, I see his majesty, his splendor, his glory, I know his strength and his power. Oh, that's right, I serve the limitless God, amen? That's who God is. Now, so often what I want God to be John Cena. That's who I want God to be. Like last night was his final match with the WWE. And he took two guys up on his shoulders. I don't know if anybody saw this. And he did what is known as the double attitude adjustment. I'd never even heard of that move. I'm like, where was that with my kids? Man, I would have loved to have given them a double attitude adjustment. And he picks them up, two of them, and slams them to the ring floor. And I'm like, yeah, that's who I want God to be, right? Amen? Oh, don't be shy about that. Amen? You don't have to be shy about that because that's who our God is. That's what he can do. Man, he can come in a moment and defeat the enemy because the enemy is already defeated through the cross and the blood of Jesus. So you got to recognize and realize this is who my God is. He's more powerful than anyone or anything. But so often, that's not how God chooses to show off his strength. Really, the way he chooses to show off his strength best is as a father who lovingly picks us up and swaddles us, wraps us in his strength. When my kids were babies, I was the master swaddler. I was good at it, people. I mean, I had a blue and a pink belt in swaddling. And I mean, you know, have you ever seen a baby when they're just flailing their arms and their legs and they're crying and they're screaming, and then you just take an arm and you tuck it and you wrap that one arm, you tuck the other arm, wrap it across, pull them tight, pick them up, and they're going, and they go. And then they calm down, don't they? This is the best feeling ever. Like if you're not a parent one day, I pray that over you, that you would have that moment, because when you pick up that child and that child, there's just something about when you swaddle them and they know who you are and they see what you are doing. This is our God. He wraps you in his arms and you look up into his eyes and you see his strength to carry you. I don't know why we resist that, but we do. I mean, we're flailing our arms and our legs, you know, we're like, what's going on? You know, and then we're like, I got it, God. No. We're resisting him. And let me do this. How's that working for you? Probably not that great. You're going to find strength when you let God wrap you in his strength. Look at verse 31. He says this, those who what? Trust in the Lord, they will find what? New strength. Come on, that's strength you do not yet have. That's strength that you do not possess. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Now, in my backyard, I have a garden and we have all kinds of birds that come in there. We have cardinals and blue jays. We've even got an owl. We've got a hawk. We got finches, but I want you to look at this scripture again, because what it doesn't say is that they will soar high on wings like finches. It doesn't say that. No, it says eagles. God strategically uses the word eagles. Why? Because eagles are majestic. Eagles are powerful. I was watching the Iron Bowl last night, and they had the eagle come flying in. There was 100,000 people that just went quiet, and all eyes were on this eagle, and you could see the power and the majesty and the splendor as it rode on the wind. Like, this is our God. This is the Spirit of God. This is what he does for you. He comes in with the wind of his Spirit, and he lifts you above your circumstances and your situation and draws you close to him. This is who God is. This is why he uses this word eagles. By the way, Isaiah here is kind of echoing the words that God spoke to Moses when he brought him out of Egypt. Look at Exodus 19:4. God said this, to Moses, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I what? Carried you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. The Israelites were enslaved for 400 years, helpless, distraught, a broken people, no strength left. But the scripture says they cried out to the Lord, like Psalm 107, Lord, help. And God swept in like an eagle, put him on his wings, and carried them out of bondage and slavery and placed them into a promised land. This is our God. This is what he wants to do for you. Your strength is gone. You can't carry on. You feel stuck, and he wants to sweep in and put you on his wings, and he wants you to rise up. He wants to carry you and bring you into that promised land. Think about the promise you're believing for right now that you've been hoping for that seems so far away. God says, I'm going to bring you into it. Turn to somebody and tell them, God's going to bring you in. God is going to bring you in. He's going to give you strength for today. He's going to give you strength for tomorrow. He's going to give you strength to rise up. He's going to give you strength to dream again. He's going to give you strength to overcome. He's going to give you strength to take the next step. He's going to give you strength to keep moving each and every day until you finally move into the promise that he has for you. He is the God of strength when my strength is gone. He is the God who says, when your strength is gone, I will pick you up into my arms and I will wrap you in my strength. Look not at your problems, look not at your situation, don't look at the struggle and the difficulty and the disappointment. Get your eyes off of that. Get your eyes up towards heaven. Get your eyes on your Savior, because that is where your strength is.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.